Hey there, welcome to a new episode in the Blissful Biz podcast. Today I'm talking with Hannah Rose Cluley, yoga teacher, turned to self-love coach, turned to social media coach, turned to full-blown business coach, amazingly successful. And she's sharing her journey, her evolution. We talk about what her days look like, about messaging, about why we both feel it's so important for women especially to talk about money and share their money success stories, and so much more. You're going to love our conversation. I can't wait for you guys to meet her. So let's dive in. Hey there, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanne Reiker, here to help yoga and wellness entrepreneurs build a thriving online business. If you're ready to make a bigger impact and earn money online, you are in the right place. Each week you learn about websites, digital products, social media strategies, and what's working now to build your online business. And now let's get started. Hey, Hannah, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm so excited you're here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited as well. And I'm jealous that you're in Mallorca, where it's probably way warmer than it is here.
It's so gorgeous. I have to pinch myself sometimes. I can't believe that I'm living here now. It was completely unplanned. And I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Love that. Yes.
So we just started chatting a little bit, and I love that we've been in Bali at the same time and then went back to Europe with the pandemic. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that and about your journey in business as well. But maybe we start with you just like quickly introducing yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, totally. So my name is Hannah and I am a business coach and mentor. So I kind of bring together the really strategic side of mentorship that comes with that. And then also the intuitive discovery side of coaching and the mindset and those things and bring them together. My, I guess, specialties would definitely be in content creation, messaging, as well as the mindset work. So I think that's really, really key. And I work with wellness entrepreneurs, whether you're a yoga teacher, whether you're a coach, whether you're a photographer. Like, I work with somebody who specializes in dog behavior. Like, I have such a wide audience of who I work with, because I think at the end of the day, when it comes down to following your purpose and doing what you want to do, and especially if you run an online business, which I know a lot of the people that listen to this podcast and that you work with do, the steps are very, very similar.
I love that. What's your background, really? So I know I discovered you, I think, the first time in Bali, like years and years and years ago, when you were talking more about body positivity, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
And lots of pictures, amazing photos in a bikini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss those days.
I think, yeah. What did you do before that? What brought you to Bali? What was like your upbringing?
Yeah. My background, my original background is actually translation, which is like so different to what I do now. But I think that's why messaging is something that really excites me, because I like love language. So I was a translator living in London.
But what languages?
French. Yeah, French and English. And then also like project management. So just overviewing other translation projects in all of the languages. But that brought a lot of stress to my life. It was a high stress job, considering it's not an emergency job. Do you know what I mean? I remember thinking at the time, like, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a paramedic, like, why am I stressed right now? And at the same time as that, I had to go through a couple of knee surgeries, because there's just something structurally like not quite right with my knee and my hip. And that's how I got into yoga. So I guess like everything sort of led from yoga and the gratitude for your body that comes with that, and the acceptance that comes with that, and also how amazing yoga was for my knee health. You know, my surgeon was always so shocked post-surgery at how much mobility I had, because of yoga. And I ended up quitting my translation job, going into yoga, managing yoga studios. And then I got into the social media side of it, because when you manage a yoga studio, managing their social media is usually part of your job. And that was just the thing that I was really good at. Like, the managing people wasn't my thing, but the social media, the marketing was something that I really, really loved. And then I visited a friend in Bali and I loved it so much. So I feel like everybody who goes there feels that way quite often. And I just decided to move. So I moved and I ended up managing a studio over there. I ended up doing.
When was that? When did you move to Bali?
2018.
Okay.
Yeah. When did you move?
I went there the first time for yoga teacher training. I think it was the end of 2013.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I was like you, I fell in love with the island. And so I was already freelancing in Germany, working as a freelancer in advertising. So I went back to Germany for a few months, like earning like tons of money, and then went back to Bali and then went back to Germany. And then I tried everything to make it work so I could stay in Bali longer. I did like PowerPoint presentations for clients, and I had a little yoga retreat directory. It was my first online business that I started in 2011. And and then I discovered online courses in 2016. And that's when my journey really started.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, so you were there a bit. Well, I went there like in 2008, but it was like a traveling holiday and I didn't really like appreciate it at all. But yeah, you were like there a little bit earlier than me. I was a bit late to the digital trend. I remember my friend and like another yoga teacher being like, you have to create a course. And I was like, what? Like, I don't know what I would even do. And then obviously now it's so different. But yeah, I moved to Bali. I taught there. I set up my social media management business. But I was still posting, as you would remember, publicly about like the self-love stuff. Like, that's very much what I did. And when I did my life coach training, it was in the self-love world, because that's what I was super passionate about. And that's what I started coaching in, was self-love. And then I think when COVID...
And how did that work? How did it work? Did you find clients?
Yeah.
Were you able to support yourself as a self-love coach?
Yeah, I was never able to, you know, make X per month or anything like that. But I had a few clients. I mean, I definitely just did the classic thing of like post about it once and then never posted about it again. Like, just the classic new entrepreneur with like social media and marketing, like everything that I was doing for the studios and for the brands that I was working with and doing their social media for, I wasn't doing for myself. It was very interesting. But I did have a job working at a retreat center. So I did the self-love coaching and I did Reiki and I taught yoga there. So I got loads of experience with their clients. It was kind of like a death by fire situation, but it was so good because I really understood how to hold people through that. So I was really fortunate to get that gig because they just kind of liked me and took me on. But yeah, I think if I were to go back in time and be able to apply not only all the tools that I know now, but also not have the sort of lack of confidence that I definitely did when I first started, I feel like I would probably be in a very different place right now. You know, like, maybe I would never have even done the business coaching. Maybe I would have stayed with self-love, who knows? But it's just interesting how, and that's why I love doing what I do, because I get it. Like, I've been that person, just hasn't posted.
Yeah, I mean, we all have been there, right?
So, yeah.
I mean, when I look back at all the mistakes that I made, how for years I tried making a living selling like really low priced offers to a tiny audience. And obviously it didn't really work out well.
Mm-hmm.
But it brought us to where we are today.
Yeah.
You know, so, and even back then I was still loving my life. And so it's all good.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel the same as well. It was all part of the journey. It needed to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what happened then? So you've been like self-love, and then you also went slowly into social media coaching, right?
Yeah, exactly that. So when COVID hit Bali, because it was earlier for us in Bali, wasn't it, than sort of, you know, Europe, because just of how it worked out.
The lockdown happened pretty much at the same time, right? So I remember I left Bali like early March 2020, and it was a normally scheduled flight. I was just really lucky. And I think the lockdown happened like 2 weeks later or something.
Yeah, I think like everywhere had started to close down prior to that, because there were like 2 weeks where I remember just not working, just staying in my villa, not doing anything. And everyone just started to leave. And I'd lost all my, because I wasn't managing the yoga studio anymore, but I was teaching there regularly. I was managing maybe like 5 social media clients, most of whom were on the island, but one of them was US based. And yeah, I just lost all my clients. The retreat center that I was teaching at closed down. So I just didn't have anything except for one social media client who was in the US, because in Bali, like, they want to be able to pay their staff whilst they close down versus their social media girl, you know, and if they're closed, what's the point? So I totally got it. And then I remember just like seeing loads of people panicking, like, how do you use Zoom? How do you do an Instagram video? Do I do YouTube? Like, what's live? Like, I just remember so many yoga teachers in particular and like fitness instructors really just like having a bit of a meltdown. And so I remember just waking up one day and thinking, like, why am I being paid only £500 a month to do so much for other people's social media when I could just teach other people how to do it themselves? And I just was like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So I did some videos, and I still was doing the self-love thing for a little bit, but then I offered like a £60 60-minute session to dive into your Instagram and like clean that up and get your bio sorted and just really sort of like the very beginning basic things that so many people didn't know back then. And it just seemed to work. Like, I just suddenly had that fire in my belly, I think, because I was not making any money. And I just was like, right, now's the time. And it just sort of, the timing was perfect for me, I think.
I think like a lot of online coaches got kind of a boost in the pandemic, right? In 2020 and 21, because obviously everybody moved online for pretty much everything. So that's like the silver lining a little bit of the pandemic. I think that it really opened people's eyes about the possibilities of learning something new online, of like, you know, like practicing online, doing things. And I think even now that the world opened up again, a lot of people still crave that because it's so convenient, that convenience that not everybody has a yoga studio where they live. I don't actually have one here right now. It's kind of annoying. And I mean, I love online courses. I love learning everything with online courses. But I know that a lot of people are also struggling with that. Suddenly it's like, okay, suddenly nobody books my Zoom classes anymore. Or suddenly nobody's, you know, like my online course isn't selling as much anymore. There's so much more noise out there.
Yeah, that's super true. Like, I'm seeing it with a lot of clients as well, or people who are messaging me, like, we're behaving like we're still in lockdown from like a selling perspective, and we're not. And I think that's something that people are struggling with at the moment, especially those who came online in that time, either to learn or to sell, and had like a lot of success, right? Like, there's a recalibration, I think, at the moment of like moving back into the in-person world and how that works for online businesses.
Yeah, it's just a little bit like there's a lot of, I don't know, maybe you just like, because suddenly your feed is full of people posting about that, right? But there's a lot of changes. Like, a lot of people are either burned out and they're closing down their businesses, or they're like changing their business model. And it's so easy to get caught up in that. And, you know, I just had that this morning, that this realization that there are actually entrepreneurs who are crazy successful, who've been doing the same things for over 10 years, like Marie Forleo or Amy Porterfield or James Wedmore. They just stay in their lane. Right? They don't get like influenced by all that craziness around them. They did the same thing pretty much in the pandemic than they did before.
Yeah, they were the ones who were having programs before, right? Like same with Manifestation Babe, like Catherine Zenkina, like they've been around for a long time. And even I lived with a coach for a few years, or not a few years, a few months in Bali, who he'd been coaching for 10 years. And this was pre-pandemic. Nobody knew anything about COVID. And he was just there doing his calls online. And the coaching industry has been around for such a long time. But for those of us that were, or for the people that were, and I think a lot of your audience as well will be those people who are probably yoga teachers who moved online and then realized that, as you said, there is this online world, that then the panic sort of sets in of like, well, things are changing now. There's not going to be any space for me. And actually, that's not true. And I think it's that fear of change that human beings have, this innate fear of things changing. We want things to stay the same. But I think it's exciting. Like in-person things are going to start building back up soon. How I see it is like everybody has been in lockdown. So now they're going out and like, I mean, the yoga classes are really full in the studios that I teach in person, but I feel like London, for example, is a different story. But I feel like everything's going to start to even out soon. So if you're listening and you're like stressed about that, just trust that everything is going to settle and even out. Because when we first went into lockdown, we were all panicking in the same way, right? And everything's been okay so far.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true. Spencer always does like take a deep breath. That's what we practice, right? And you have all the tools, like a lot of my listeners are yoga teachers. You have the tools to stay calm, to regulate your nervous system and apply them to your business.
That's literally it, right? It's like, what would you say to your clients if they came to you stressed about something? Like, be your own coach, yeah. Be your own leader.
Yeah. But so I started talking about those names who've been around for a long time. And I think their advantage is, right, they're so established already as a brand. So when you're starting today, it's more difficult to stand out. It's not unique anymore to create an online course as a yoga teacher like it was, I don't know, 2020. What do you think is really like the most important thing when you're basically not starting out, but maybe just like, you know, like want to grow your business really up to the next level?
I would assume that a lot of people's audiences, like a lot of the people in the audiences of the yoga teachers, probably haven't done an online course. Like I think when you're in it and when you're studying it and when you're in like business programs or when you follow, you know, either yourself or myself or other people, we assume that like everybody knows about these courses. But if I were to go out and like talk to, because for example, my partner, he's, you know, works a corporate job, his friends do similar, or they're in the creative industry, they're not doing these courses, you know? So I would assume that many of the people listening, your audience, they're not oversaturated with programs. You probably think you are because you're following 200 other coaches or business mentors on Instagram, but come back to the client. Like, who are you serving? What do they desire? And then where are they? And go and speak to them. And I think something that we've forgotten is that the power of, I call it social currency, or like the power of speaking to people in real life, is such a big difference. And it's not just about Instagram. Like, I think Instagram's extremely oversaturated, it can be a big distraction. So where else are you showing up? Like, is it going and networking? Are you telling people in your classes? Are you sending out emails? Are you on YouTube? Do you have a podcast? Like, where else are you speaking to your people other than that space of Instagram, which I think is great, but can be very overwhelming? And also just, as I was saying, focus on what the ideal client wants. What do they want? I think it's very easy to make the business about us, about ourselves as the business leader and the guide. But it's always coming back to what the ideal client wants. I mean, I don't know if you agree with that, but that's kind of my perspective.
No, I love that. And I love that idea of maybe creating like a hybrid business model of not, you know, like really like talk to people in real life. Mm. Think about how you connect those both things.
Mm.
I feel like that's, you know, like that's a really interesting conversation that I didn't have in a really long time. I know it's like an idea that I have in the back of my mind that I want to create like in-person events mm-hmm. here in Mallorca. So maybe like a weekend retreat, longer retreats, things like that. I mean, I love my online connections, but and meeting in person is such a special energy.
Oh, things happen, so
like, you know, it's and both is great. And I had those conversations with yoga teachers who did like a yoga teacher training. And after they moved it online in the pandemic, they realized that people are actually, they became better yoga teachers. And mm-hmm. now they're doing hybrid models because all the theory part about the philosophy, anatomy, that's actually works so much better when people can study that in their own time through online mm-hmm. materials. Because otherwise, you know, like when you're sitting in a room, like very uncomfortable on some bolster for 8 hours, after a while, you're just going to tune out. You're not going to be able to really digest what people are saying. So to have that combination, I think it's so powerful. And then to meet in person, you know, like as well, like for a week or 2 weeks and do the teaching, the connection, all those things that are really important, I feel like, for yoga teacher training as well.
Yeah, and I think I would so much rather be able to study something at home in my own space, in my own time, so I can pause it, so I can make notes, so I can go make a cup of coffee, so I don't feel like I'm in school. Like if it was a training for my, like if I was going to do my yin training or something, I think that'd be different because you'd want it to be in person. But exactly as you say, like the philosophy side of things, or even if it's like got a life coaching sort of angle to it, which I think a lot of yoga teachers can add in, because usually we're guided to yoga because we want to go deeper and we want to learn more about ourselves, which then makes us great people to help other people do that also. That's the sort of thing that can be done, as you say, online. And then you have the opportunities for people to come meet you in person, to come see you in person. Maybe you're still teaching one or two classes a week because you just love the energy of teaching a physical practice. But I think we have to remember that pre-pandemic, all basically the majority of the businesses were created in person. Like the online world is very, very new. And yet we could forget that. We forget that it's so new. We think that this is the only way to build a business. And of course it can work. But what does happen is then we look at people like, I'm trying to think of some of the names that you mentioned, but they've all gone out of my head. Marie Forleo. And we think we should be there. Or if I think of some of the big yoga teachers that I follow who have like a big following and run their courses and have their memberships, you look at them and you think you should be doing that already. And you forget that they've probably had like, 5-10 years of building this. And they, for whatever reason, were able to grow their audience, but it probably took them a really long time. And we forget that. We want that instant success that just really doesn't exist, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's like, make me successful in 2 weeks or in 4 weeks and bring me to 6 figures. I would love to, but that's not how it works in most cases.
Oh my gosh. No, like I had years of building it up, thinking about a program, but not offering it, not quite doing it, enrolling in one program, letting that sink in, doing this and that. Like it, you know, from the point that I was qualified as a yoga teacher to then being qualified as a coach, there was like 3 to 4 years. And then for the coaching, before I actually started seeing really good money coming in, there was 2 years. So I think it's like giving yourself, and I already had like quite a big audience online, right? I wasn't building my audience from scratch. That's another thing that I think we have to think about. So never comparing and just having patience. Like, if you have that pressure on yourself to want it now, you're going to be pushing it further and further away from you.
How did you start building your audience? Was it just sort of posting on Instagram consistently then? And how did it translate into changing your business model again and again?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, so mine really came about from the body positivity, just posting, I don't know, it just suddenly started growing, but it wasn't quick. You know, it was slow and steady over a few years. And then when I moved to Bali, that also helped it grow, because I think I was moving from one area to another area and like putting myself in a new environment. People are always super curious, but I was very much more of an influencer. So my content was just very random, didn't have a lot of point to it. I sort of just posted because I wanted to say something, which was really good practice for now, because I'm never scared to put anything out there. Like, I say what I want, I say how I feel, I say what's relevant, but with now the angle of like what my ideal client needs to hear. But when I pivoted into the self-love coaching, my engagement took like a massive hit. Like, you know, I used to get thousands and thousands of likes, like tens of thousands of story views, and it definitely reduced a lot. And now I would say that, you know, you look at the however many followers I've got, you look at the number and think, wow, she's got so many followers. But I would say that the actual amount of engaged people, it's more like 10,000, which is still a really good number. Like, I'm super grateful for that, but it's not like I've got this massively engaged audience who are ready for everything that I say. Like, I still have to very much work for it, but I like that, because then it, you know, it makes it more fun because I have to think outside the box. But I think the self-love coaching, I mean, I've got a few clients from social media. I think because I was taking a long time to figure out what my niche was there, and I was like, do I want to have astrology involved? Because I love astrology. Do I want to include this? Do I want to include this? Because I never fully decided on my niche, which is very common. And I sort of went between different things. It took a while for people to build trust with me because I wasn't, you know, giving them evidence. I wasn't giving them proof. And then with the social media, I think because I've been working with these brands for so long and had evidence of how if we incorporated this, we grew by this number. If we did this, we'd like, this is the results that they got. The proof was much easier for me to show. But whereas when I was talking about self-love, I didn't quite know how to translate that back then. Whereas now, if I were to work with a self-love coach, how I would tell them to share their proof, like I would know how to do that. But back then I really didn't.
I love that. Yes. So you, from social media, you're now more of a like general, you're talking a lot more about numbers, right? Mm. So about how to reach a specific goal, how to get to six figures or multi-six figures. What's the reasoning behind that?
That's a really good question. And it's interesting because I see a lot of people talking about like why that's not good when you mention numbers. I think for me, I remember just seeing people hitting 10K months, for example, and just being like, how? Like, that seems like such a large amount of money to me. That seems absolutely impossible. And when I first started with the coaching, it very much wasn't about the numbers. It was like, grow your Instagram, you know, get clear on your offer, which I still do talk about, but I didn't have the evidence of clients making that sort of money yet. So I felt like I couldn't talk about it. You know, if I've not helped a client create X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to tell you that I could do it. And then when I launched my first program, I had clients who were, like making 7K in 5 days and like coming out of it with a 9K launch from an online program. And I thought, okay, like now all of the processes, which is like hone in on your offer, get clear on your ideal client, grow your Instagram, now has a result. Whereas before it was very process-based. And I think this is something that maybe some of you listening can really think about, like what is your process versus what is the outcome? And for me, that was what the shift was. And again, money is also a process to happiness, to freedom, to X, Y, and Z. So it might come a time when my ideal client isn't even driven by finances anymore and just wants to have a life of freedom, or just wants to have, you know, autonomy in their business or good boundaries. But the ideal client that I'm currently speaking to, I feel like they see the figure 10K, 20K, 30K, whatever it is, six figures, and they understand that that is going to gift them freedom, hiring a team member, all of those things. And I just think it's working right now for me, but I would also be open to not talking about those things anymore if people weren't inspired by them, or if it wasn't working and I was getting the wrong clients. Like, it's always in marketing a process of, is this working right now? Could this be done better in a different way? Okay, that's not working. Because for you, for example, it's all about having this blissful business, selling online programs, which I think is perfect, you know, and I think everyone gets to have their own voice and their own angle.
No, I love that. I love your answer. And I agree that seeing other people, especially women, talking about their financial results is inspiring. It's empowering. It's important in our society when you think about how few female-led businesses actually get there to those results, and how normalized it is in our society that as a woman, you choose a job where it's about healing or helping people and you don't do it for the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's all those very low paid jobs that are traditionally female. And this construct of the patriarchy, it's time to overcome that. So it's important. It's important to see women talk about money. And of course, it's triggering to some people, right? So, and I had times in my, you know, when it was triggering me, but I realized pretty quickly it's about me, right? Yeah. It's my issue. It's not about them or what they're posting. It's like, what is that actually triggering in myself? What thoughts, what beliefs that I'm having?
That's so valid. And I love that you said that, because I think there are some people that just aren't lit up by the money conversation, and that's absolutely fine. Like, I worked with a client last year who's a yoga teacher, but she's also like a digital marketing coach. And she just was like, I just don't want to talk about money. And now part of her messaging is very much like how I feel about people saying 10K months. And that's fine. Like, your people will go there and you do you. But for me, I used to be majorly triggered by, people talking about making X amount of money. And I was like, how is this even possible? This feels so, because I was from a very comfortable childhood. Like, my parents had enough money to send me to a really good school. It's not like we had, you know, flashy cars or anything like that, but it was very comfortable. But I just remember thinking that making that sort of money was impossible for me. And I had no idea how I would do it. And I would always be in debt, or I'd always be worrying about how to pay X, Y, and Z. So I guess also for me, it's a little bit of a celebration that I'm like actually making this sort of money, which never seemed even remotely possible. But people are really triggered by it. And I think that that's part of the patriarchy, is that the top percent stay very, very rich, and everybody else stays either very very poor, or somewhere in the middle where money is constantly on your mind and you're always worrying about it. And even like the video, like movies, you know, the rich snooty woman loses her memory or whatever, and then all of a sudden she becomes a good person. And it's like so classic that money is bad. But then we watch Formula One, the documentary, where they're making millions for winning a race, and we praise them. So it's just so conflicting. And yet it is the coaches on Instagram that talk about it that get the stick, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. I remember, do you know Ally McBeal, the TV show? And you're like, it's like back in the days.
Vaguely. Yeah.
I mean, there was like one episode, like pretty much at the end, where she bought her own house. And the feedback from, I think, her colleagues or friends were, you can't buy your own house. You're never going to find a man.
Wow.
Yeah. I think there's still truth to that. I mean, that's like, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago, but still, right?
Well, yeah, 100%.
I want to change that too. I want women to have that financial freedom, like freedom on a freedom is like emotional freedom, but also financial freedom is so important. So I don't want any woman staying stuck in like in a relationship when they're not happy, or not being able to support their children really, or Yeah, just like, and we have those opportunities today. I mean, obviously, we're still, like you and I, we're still privileged.
Yeah, 100%.
That we have the education and the possibilities, but and that still factors in, of course. Mm-hmm. But there's still more opportunities to be self-started than there were, I think, like 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I also think, yeah, wherever there's this, you know, there's a scale of privilege, right? So wherever you are on the scale, there's usually people that are more privileged than you, and there are usually people that are more oppressed than you. And I think one thing that I love about having this type of business is that then you can create spaces for the people that wouldn't have those opportunities. But even, for example, when I worked at a yoga studio in Bali, we wanted to create scholarship spots on our yoga teacher trainings for Indonesian teachers. Because one thing about Bali that, if you've never been, you might not know this, but all the teachers are basically Western. Like, it's very difficult to go and find traditional Indonesian Balinese yoga teachers because of the money piece. Like, you know, an average salary in Bali, at least when I lived there, was a couple of £100 or €100 a month. And they wouldn't have the money to spend thousands of pounds on a yoga teacher training. But what we found when we wanted to introduce it, that none of the people that were interested would take the scholarship, because it would mean that they wouldn't be able to work. And if they couldn't work, they couldn't provide for their family. So it's like, well, then do we create a scholarship fund that would finance them instead of their salary? And it got quite complicated. But one of the things that having more money and having more revenue in your business is that you can create those opportunities, and that maybe you would do, like, either you get investment or you do a GoFundMe, or even you just sacrifice your own time or your own finances, right? Like, there are different ways that you can do it. But having scholarship spots on your programs to enable, whether it's women of color or people from who are LGBTQIA or disabled people, like, whatever categories you want to decide on, you get to offer those up for people. And when I do have scholarship spots, they're usually the most dedicated and they're usually the hardest working. And I have one person who joined me for my mastermind in 2021. She'd been made redundant. She's a woman of color and she really wanted to do it, but there was just no way. Like, she couldn't even pay her mortgage. And now her business is, like, soaring and flourishing, and she's, like, working with Adidas, and just, it's amazing to see. And whenever I speak to her, she's like, I'm just so grateful that you gave me that opportunity. And that's awesome. You know, it makes me feel good, but more importantly, it's given her an opportunity that maybe she wouldn't have had otherwise. So we can recognize our privilege, and then we can do things to help level out the playing field, if you will.
Yeah, I love that, to give back from a full cup, right? Yeah. It's a cliche, but there's so much truth in it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about, like, what does your life, your business day look like today?
Oh, that's a good question. My days are all different, but today I've got two calls after this with my one-to-one clients, and then I'm teaching yoga this evening because I still teach two classes a week in this, like, amazing studio in... It's not coastal, but it's on, like, a creek. It's near a creek and it's just beautiful. So then after my two calls, I'm just going to do some final things for a program launch. But my days always look different. Like, yesterday I was in a co-working space. Tomorrow I'm not working. I'm going to a wedding. And then I'm going to Mallorca in a few weeks. Like, travel's a big thing for me. But I think I would be lying if I was like, every day is super glamorous. Like, no, some days I am in my office, like 9 to 6, on calls, darting out to make a coffee, trying to tell my cat to shut up because she's being crazy. Like, it's still real life, but the freedom that I have is just the freedom of choice. Like, tomorrow, I needed tomorrow off because I'm going to a friend's wedding. I don't have to ask anybody. Yeah. Or I'm going to Mallorca in a few weeks to see my friend who lives there. I don't have to ask anybody. or if I was sick a week ago or a few weeks ago, I think I had to rearrange our podcast episode as well. But again, I didn't have to ask anybody. I'm just like, I'm really sorry I'm ill. We're going to have to move our call. And all my clients like, yeah, that's absolutely fine. And that's what for me is exciting. But yeah, there are some days when I'm like, I'm sick of this. I don't want to write this sales page anymore. I can't think of any content ideas. Like, I do have those days as well.
You just open ChatGPT.
Yeah. It's true.
No, thank you for sharing that. I love it that we have such aligned goals, aspirations, like in a way what we appreciate really about that life as an online business owner. So I hope that was an inspiring conversation for our listeners. Where can people go to learn more about you?
So I'm on Instagram at Hannah Rose Cluley. That was probably one of the best places. I also do have a podcast called the Empowered Entrepreneur Podcast, which I would love to have you on. So maybe we should organize that as well. Yeah. And that is really awesome. Those are the two main spaces that I'm in and focusing on at the moment. But yeah, just come on over to Instagram and see what's going on.
Yeah, add the link to the show notes. I also tag you when we share this episode. Thank you so much for being here, Hannah. It was lovely talking to you. So yeah, thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me. It was amazing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Blissful Biz podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about how to work with me one-on-one, my courses and membership, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to susannereiker.com right now. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time. Hey there, interrupting for a short announcement. I'm hosting a virtual bootcamp to help you kickstart your online business from May 6th to May 10th, and I would love to see you there. It's the Make Your First or Next $5,000 online bootcamp, and you can save your spot for this free virtual event when you go to my website, susannereiker.com/bootcamp. That's susannereiker.com/bootcamp. I'm going to go live every day from Monday to Friday with a live training on how to elevate your vision, choose your profitable niche, amplify your content, nail down your signature offer to make your first or next $5,000. I can't believe how freaking fun, valuable, and powerful this virtual event is going to be. You'll get 5 live stream trainings, all of the recordings in case you can't make it live or need to leave early, access to my new community, the Midlife Biz Hive, including tons of additional trainings for you to dive in, the chance to ask any questions in our calls or in the community. It'll be amazing. This event is a real game changer, whether you're just starting out or you've been at it for a while, but feeling a bit stuck around the maybe $2,000 to $3,000 monthly mark. If you're eager for more and ready to figure out the online business puzzle, this is the perfect place to kickstart your journey to bigger and better results.